Thank you for tuning in to Rosie on the House. We've been all over the board today, haven't we? Man. Well, we lost a good one. We lost a good one this week.
B.B. King.
That's some good music right there, partner. That's some good music.
He's been putting it out for many, many years.
Too. Lucille. Woo! I saw him at Celebrity Theater years ago, and boy, it was one of the better concerts I've ever seen, just as far as being able to sit down and really enjoy some music, not being blasted out of the building with ear-piercing, make-your-ear-bleed volume. It was just great.
And you can understand what he's saying.
And you can understand
what he's saying. You can hear the words.
Ooh, man.
Well, last week we found ourselves in a conversation about how the broadcast technically works.
Before we go there, I want to invite people out to an event that's going on this afternoon. And it's on an issue we talk about a lot here in Rosie on the House, and it's the confusion revolving around the solar industry. If you're in the Phoenix metro area and you're considering solar, I'm going to be hosting an event this afternoon. We're going to serve lunch at 1:30. The meeting starts at 2. It's going to go all afternoon. And it's at the offices of Harmon Solar. Now, look, you can give them a call at 800-281-3189 or go to harmonsolar.com/Rosie. It's going to be the Rosie on the House Harmon Solar Education for Arizona Homeowners. We've got a lot of great giveaways. I was notified just this morning there's still a few spots available. We'd love to see you there. It'll be an all-afternoon event. Come on out and get all, do I buy, do I lease? Get all your questions answered. Is my house right or isn't it? We'll talk about the audit process to determine whether or not your property is a good candidate for solar or not. Then we'll talk about if you opt for solar, the post-audit that shows you what you are actually generating and what you can expect to save over the years of operation this system will be installed. If I'm an SRP customer, does it still make sense for me to go solar? We'll answer all of those questions. It's a free event all afternoon. This afternoon will be 2 to 5, serving lunch at 1:30. Come on out, Harmon Solar, okay? I'm going to give you the number one more time, 800-281-3189. Or to reserve your spot, go to harmonsolar.com/Rosie. We'll be out there at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Okay, so last week we were talking about the technicalities, and we're going to get to bathroom remodeling here with Stan Zimbrunnen from Rosie on the House Remodeling. It's our article in the home section of the Arizona Republic today. What can you get for each particular investment level inside your bathroom? But we got into a conversation that really, again, it's one of those topics, Romy, we get on that just like hits a chord. And I was saying, Mike Reisch, our broadcast engineer, proud South Dakota Jackrabbit, that he takes the voice I'm using right here in this microphone, which is located about 5 inches forward of my lips. He takes that, sends it over to our satellite distribution company that's located up in North Scottsdale. They take a dish, send the signal up to a satellite, and we were guessing what elevation the satellites were located at. And I said, you know, we generally fly at 30,000 to 35,000
in airplanes.
You certainly don't see satellites at that elevation. So I said, where are they? At 60,000, 90,000, 100,000? And we actually got,
we had a host of responses,
yes,
and none of them were agreed with each other.
Yeah,
and
but.
So we thought, well, we need to get somebody that would know about satellites on the broadcast.
Let's get a radio expert in here and talk about the miracle of radio broadcasting. I want to introduce y'all to Dave Dixon. He's actually the Vice President of Engineering for Skyview Networks, and he's joining us here this Saturday morning just to talk about the miracle of broadcasting. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Rosie, for having me on.
Okay, so my voice right now is traveling by cable, I think, to Skyview.
ISDN line.
Okay, it's traveled by ISDN cable to your location. What do you do with it from there, Dave?
Yeah, very good, Rosie. Thanks so much. Yeah, it's interesting. It goes the 8 inches to the microphone, then the few miles on ISDN. Then once it gets to us, then we take it in from North Scottsdale and we put it out with our transmission equipment up to the satellite. And the satellite is in what's called a geostationary orbit, which is way up there because it has to be up so high that it's designed to go around the Earth in an orbit once a day, once every 24 hours. And that's what makes it appear to be as if it stands still in the sky, geostationary. In order to be in a geostationary orbit, the satellite must be 22,240 miles up in space.
My voice is going 8 inches to the mic, 5 inches to the mic, about 20 miles over to Scottsdale.
Then
Dave shoots it 22,000 miles to a satellite up in the sky.
But that's one way.
Exactly. Once it hits that satellite, that satellite receives it. And by the way, the satellite's about the size of a minivan. So it's not, plus the solar panel. So it's pretty small. It hits that satellite takes the signal, turns it around, and rebroadcasts it, sprays it back down towards the Earth, another 22,240 miles. So basically, over 44,000 miles, your voice has to travel to get back down to the stations across the network.
So we have Skyview receivers at KGVY, KNST, KQNA, CHASM, CAF, and of course here at KTAR. And so then they're catching that signal, and then they're redistributing it locally to all their listeners that tune into that bandwidth.
That is correct. So at each radio station, they have a satellite receive dish, picks up the signal and the receiver, and then they inject it into their normal air signal just like they would a local voice and goes out their AM or FM transmitter. That is totally correct.
Now, look, I know you know this, but, okay, so I do a fair amount of sport shooting. I love to skeet shoot. I love to trap shoot. I love sporting clays. And you're in a stationary position, and you're shooting at something the size of an orange that's flying through the sky at about 15 miles an hour. You are shooting at something from a moving platform, the surface of the Earth. You're aiming at a moving target the size of a minivan, 22,000 miles away. How do you know when you're hitting it?
Or if you miss. How do you know? You're about two clicks to the right there.
Yeah. You know if you're hitting it, if it works. You know if you miss because it doesn't work anymore. So that's the trick. Well, and the beauty of it is that the satellite company keeps the satellite in what, again, is called a geostationary orbit. It's really not stationary. It's got to be moving at thousands of miles an hour to stay in that orbit. And the other interesting thing is, too, the gravitational pull of the moon, as well as a little bit of the sun, keeps on nudging the satellite out of its proper orbit. And so these satellites never die because they run out of energy. They get their energy off solar panels, so they never run out of electricity. What they will run out of is the actual fuel to keep them aligned. The satellite we're hitting is about 15 years old, and they it's going to run out of fuel eventually, but they just keep nudging it to keep it right exactly, again, in that synchronous orbit with the Earth. So it appears not to move hardly a bit. So once we have our dish aligned, then the satellite will just, you know, stay locked down right that same exact location in the sky.
Now, a minivan costs about $25,000. What is this size minivan cost?
Boy, these are millions. I'd have to look it up. This particular satellite is called AMC-8. If anyone want to look it up, that is the bird that all the radio stations are on there. The ABC, CNN, all the networks are on there, and that's the same one that Rosie is on with Skyview Networks.
What's the life expectancy of a satellite like that? I mean, how long did you say 15 years?
This one's getting towards end of life. In fact, there's a discussion they'll be replacing this with a new satellite probably shortly. It's 15 to 20 years is about the life expectancy, again, because they eventually run out of fuel to keep them aligned, and so they're actually required to get the satellite out of the way of space junk before it dies. There's actually, in the arc up there, by the way, there's a satellite every 2 degrees. Because, again, there's only one specific orbit that is what's called geostationary. It has to be above the equator, 22,300 miles out. Just for comparison, the GPS satellites that we listen to are called medium Earth orbits. They're at 12,000 miles out.
Wow, okay.
And the International Space Station that a lot of people are interested in, that's called a LEO. It's a low Earth orbit. And the International Space Station is only about 249 miles above the Earth.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Good grief. So what happens to a satellite at the end of its... I mean, do you just kind of kick it out into space, or does it fall back to Earth and do you recycle it, or does it burn up?
Yeah, it will eventually burn up. Usually what they do is they'll park it over the gravitational pull of the Rockies, where it'll spend the rest of its life until it finally decays in orbit and comes down in a ball of flame.
Wow.
Yep.
So, well, now let me ask you this. So that satellite that's beaming it back down to Earth, is it looking at KGVY and KNST and KQNA and KAZM and KF and just hitting those towers?
No, in actuality, it blankets the entire country. In fact, they even have a special beam that points out towards Alaska and Hawaii. And so bottom line is we are hitting it with a very tight beam that goes up and hits the satellite. The satellite itself is a pretty tight beam coming back because, again, at that distance, the Earth looks pretty small. And again,
yeah, I guess it does.
At 22,
I guess it would.
Well, and just to put it in perspective, it always surprises me. The Earth is actually less than 8,000 miles in diameter. So if you take your fist and think, okay, that's the Earth at 8,000 miles across diameter. This is three times that away in space. It's way out there. It's a high Earth orbit. And so, again, as it beams that signal back to Earth, it pretty well covers the entire continental United States.
It must take a huge amount of power to send that. And it's traveling, what, at the speed of light?
Yep, 186,000 miles per second. So the whole trip up and back takes less than a half second.
This is mind-blowing.
And here's the other amazing thing. You think, okay, what kind of a huge transmitter do we have? We have three of them actually in Scottsdale.
Oh, APS must love you guys. You're just sucking the juice.
Well, meters must be spinning.
Now watch this, and this is no lie. Our transmitter is 100 watt. That's 100. That's like a light bulb.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, it's 100. And you know what? We're running it right now at about 27 watts of power.
Now, unfortunately. And all the things we can do in radio, we can't stop the clock. Hang tight.